That battle is what is reflected at this juncture of time in Revelation chapter 6, the seven sealed book. The emphasis is not the seals. The emphasis is the book. The emphasis is the book, not the seals. There is something in that book that has been sealed. What is inside is protected by the seals. Hallelujah. What is inside that book is protected by seven seals. And only Christ can open it. In opening it, that means he will grant you understanding. Because, listen, church, he is the only one that was worthy to open the seals. If he's the only one that is worthy, thank you, Father. If he's the only one that is worthy, no man on earth or heaven, anywhere, was qualified to open the seal. The emphasis is not even collecting the book, but opening the seal. Why? If he's the only one qualified, then something qualified him for it. Something made him to qualify for it. Number one is that he is the kinsman redeemer. Oh, glory be to God. He's the only one qualified. And because he has paid the price, he alone is given power to open the seals. What is opening the seals? Every seal there is the battle that Jesus will go through. And his people that he has come to redeem, the battle they will fight. It is the battlefield. Every seal is the battlefield that we are to go through before finally we conquer Satan. Revelation chapter 20. Put him in the bottomless pit. Come to earth here. Rearrange this earth. And rule this earth for 1,000 years. Praise the Lord. Then come out again. Finish the last judgment according to the agenda. It's so important we understand that, so that we are not just religious people. And so, but we are revelated people. Seal number one, we have explained it. When Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell, praise the Lord. In Revelation chapter 6, fulfilling the law of redemption. Before the witnesses, we have witnesses, the beast, four beasts, and the 24 elders. They are the witnesses, according to the law of redemption, that Christ, I'm just summarizing it so that we can flow with where I'm going now. They are the witnesses that come before the throne, and he who is worthy to collect the book, the title deed. And the title deed there is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, 28. The authority that God gave Adam, he lost it. That is the authority that Jesus Christ is being given to come back here and take over this earth and redeem. Redemption is because we belong to him. He lost us. He's now coming to buy us back to himself by the process of the kinsman redeemer redemption law. And the gates of hell are those four horse riders. In Revelation chapter 6, the first seal was open. Let's rush through it. Revelation chapter 6. And I saw When the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. Which is that beast that says so? Are we together? We are doing Bible study now. Eh? How many, can you name the beasts in Revelation chapter 4 before the throne of God? The first one is what? Lion. The second one is what? The calf. The third one is what? Face of a man. And the fourth one is what? Now, I said it the other day. It is not a lion. It's like a lion. And the beast is a beast. Because it is a power. It is a power. And but they are before the throne of God with wings. And that means they are there on a specific assignment. And when the enemy comes like a flood, the principle is God will raise up what? A standard against it. And so, the gates of hell, why Jesus Christ said, the gates of hell shall not prevail, because when the gate of hell rises up, there is a standard that God has prepared. Signified those anointing that God will use, the anointing that is characterized by those four beasts. The beast like the lion, the beast like the four of them, the calf, the face of a man, and then like the flying eagle. So now, the first seal was open. The seal that sealed the title deed of redemption. Now, it says, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth, conquering and to conquer. Brother Abraham, in explaining this particular seal, brought our attention to note that the white horse rider had a bow, but there is no mention of arrow. And since he didn't have an arrow, it means he appeared harmless. But yet he was scary. You are carrying a weapon, but it has no power. But it looks like you will use it and kill. And what did God, what is the beast that said, come and see? That is the beast that God used. The anointing that he used is the anointing that is characterized by the characteristics of a lion. That means that animal, that antichrist system at that time, he was coming to scare them. But a lion cannot be scared. A lion is bold. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That was the anointing that withstood that. And he came very harmless. He came in a white horse. That means he came like one of us. He came as if he wants to identify with us. It was a religious spirit. That was when the spirit of error began to come into the church. But did he succeed? No. The true believers at that time, under the influence of that anointing, with the characteristic of a lion, the anointing of the lion of the tribe of Judah. Praise the Lord. That is what God used to keep his elect in that age. All others who are not part of the elect, they will not receive that spirit. So they will follow him as he comes. That's why he said his elect cannot be deceived. The reason why we cannot be deceived is because of the anointing he has given us. There's something he gives you that enables you to withstand the antichrist spirit for that day. That white horse rider is the antichrist spirit. That is saying, Jesus, you think you have paid the price, Abi? So you are the king's man redeemer. True, grave could not hold you captive. So true, you are Emmanuel. So you are the one that will come and take over this earth from me. Before you come and collect this earth, I will trouble you. That is the story of redemption. He has paid the price. But in the process of collecting all that belong to him, just like inheritance, in a complex family, where your father died and maybe gave you what you're supposed to inherit with a will, and then you will still see some relations. When they have had that you have, the court has granted you, you know, permission, or that go and possess your possession. There are some of them that will even go to juju house to kill you, because they are in possession of your father's property. That is exactly what Satan was doing with the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. Hallelujah. Before it happens, God has seen it. I have told you, before there is ever any problem come to you, God has made provision for solution. That is the God we serve. Before any problem comes to you, he has already provided the solution. So, but now, why doesn't he just stop it? That is his principle. Oh, praise God. That is his principle. We can't even question him. Me too, and they ask that question. Amen. But by the time I will come back and take a message later on the topic of the way of an eagle, then you will understand why he allows the problem to come to you. Because the Bible calls it the trial of your faith. We will come to that. But for now, let's look at the seals. So that lion was the anointing that God used. And counter that antichrist spirit that said, this church, I will spoil it, I will scatter it. It is called the mystery of iniquity. How Satan penetrated the church. That Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood. Penetrated and took it over. As we saw in the study of the seven church ages. And this is the spirit he used in the first church age, the Laodicean church age. Then we went to the next verse. Revelation chapter 6 verse 3. The second seal now. And when... please, let's go back to the first seal. There's something I missed out there. Take note that he started without a crown. The last statement said, and a crown was given unto him. When he said a crown there, that means some authority was given to him. Now you look at the church history and see how the Roman Empire backed him up. He was given power to do what he was doing at that time. I'm rushing this because the emphasis is for you to know that the Antichrist rose up and how God countered it in all the ages. When he discovered that the church was not dying, they were getting bolder and bolder. Then the second seal revealed the next thing he did. And when he had opened the second seal, I had the second beast. What is the second beast? The cow. Say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. Now, take note that it is the same horse that was white that now changed its color. It's not another horse. It is the same horse that is going to change his tactics now, his approach. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. And that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. That takes you to the second church age. Simania. That takes you to the second church age. When he decided to be killing those who refused to follow his error. That is through the Roman church. When we come to Daniel chapter 7, we will see how that Daniel himself saw the four world empires. And God and Daniel again saw those four powers again. He repeated it in chapter 7 and a description of each power. And all these things that we see here now will be happening in the days of the last empire. And that empire is the Roman Empire. And that is why they are the ones. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The political power was destroyed. But the ecclesiastical power took over. So it is still Rome ruling till now, spiritually. And it is known as Mystery Babylon. It is, thank you, brother, my, oh my. It has shifted from Imperial Rome to Papal Rome. They were imperialistic. Now they are Pope. Ruling from the same Rome. It's a mystery. Mystery because this is the only country, only power, I mean to say, that is a one town, one city country. And it's supposed to be religious. And it's headed by a religious leader. That is the only religious state in the whole world. And it's the only one that is given recognition in the United Nations. It's a member. But they say he is a member by observation. He knows what to do. He knows where he's going. He is soon going to take over the rulership. Praise the Lord. He has her policeman, police force. He has her currency. They have their laws. As tiny as that state is, it is the most respected leader in the whole world. The Mystery Babylon. And people are just looking at it. He's appearing so harmless. The book of Revelation exposes him to the bride of Jesus Christ. Elect can never be deceived. We know where he traveled from before he reached where he is today. And we know where he is going from here. According to this Bible. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is Rome. And the Bible describes him. Revelation chapter 17. In the Revelation, it's so clear. It's here in the Bible. The book of Revelation tells us what the seat of the Antichrist is. And gives us wisdom to calculate. He didn't say it plainly. That is the book for, that is God for you. That is the Holy Ghost for you. Hallelujah. He encoded it and waited for only the bride for him to decode it to. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. You are not happy. If you are happy, you will do something to show you are happy, that you are part of it. Oh yes, that is the truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody quickly want me to correct something. Sir, I don't question based on a statement. Sir, I don't think I agree with the statement you made. That if you are rich and you are enjoying it, it means that it is the devil that has given that wealth to you. Because he is the owner of the world and all his riches. How true is this, sir? Does it mean you can't be born again, spirit-filled, and yet be rich and enjoy your health, your wealth? You will have not asked me this question. You will have given me the example of somebody you know that is a Christian and he's enjoying the wealth. No problem. Then I will have understood your argument. For now, my own stands until you show me one. The Bible says, all that shall live godly in Christ, all, not some, shall suffer persecution. There is no believer. We are called overcomers. You cannot say an overcomer without a battle. See, anything I say, I defend it. I am not a learning prophet. I am not a learning prophet. Do you know that if there should be people that should enjoy this earth, it should be those of us that don't commit sin? Eh? It should be those of us that live clean life. We don't fornicate. We don't defile ourselves. Every day we pray. Every Friday we come for vigil. We are often destitute of the things that life demands.
What of children, what of sheltering, hills and a barren land?
And we wonder
why does that
when we try to do our best? But we understand it better by a man. He don't do. Hallelujah. Father alone, we know all about you. Father alone, we understand why. Oh,
share of my brother,
live in
the sunshine.
Oh,
we understand.
Hallelujah. The scripture cannot be broken. I am speaking thus here the Bible. There's nothing you can do to nullify this. This earth is not yet our home. This earth belongs to Satan. He boasted before Jesus. He said, all kingdom belong to me and I give it to whosoever I will. Let me tell you, if you want to be a millionaire, join a cult. There are cults that will make you millionaire. And every billionaire on earth belongs to a cult. Serving their God, Satan, in one name or the other. We know it. Go and say you want to contest for contract with an Ogonima. You are qualified. And the head of that organization, now Ogboni person, then you are coming. You, some of you know, they have met you, you qualify, but you don't belong. They will tell you. You qualify, but you don't belong. If you want the appointment, come and belong. Because it belongs to them. It belongs to them. Don't say, no, I possess my possession. Oh, yeah, possess it now. Possess it. That's what I want you to understand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you imagine that this church, as many as we are struggling to put this small structure? You don't know the forces that are fighting us. We know better than that. But you will see one small church, come and see millions and billions and millions and billions that they have. But see this large church, you think that you're just stingy, that make you not bring money? No, the spirit catches you. It's fighting you to make sure, as you will make a promise, as soon as you leave here, sometimes that business, you will go and scatter it. Once it is for the progress of the gospel, he will make sure you don't get it. That is the battle. That is the battle we face. And that does not mean you should not make a vow. Whether you made a vow or not, he will attack you. The only way for you to escape is to go and join Ogoni. So whether you promise it or not, if he doesn't attack it this way, he will attack it another way. Oh, that is certain. That is certain. That's exactly what I'm saying. It is the battle we will go through, signified by those seals. Praise the Lord. We are in verse what now? Amen. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and they that they should kill one another And there was given unto him a great sword. And millions of Christians were killed. Go to church history. Go to the Nicene Fathers. The book called the Nicene Fathers. If you don't have it, we have it. A soft copy of it, we have it. We can download it for you. Or download it in the table. There is a message site there. Download the table. In the table there, it is there. The Nicene Fathers. And see what people went through because of this faith that we are enjoying so freely in this part of the world now. Kill them. But the more he killed them, they could not give up because another spirit, the standard that God used to keep his people at that age, always remember, God does not give us the spirit to fight them. Always remember, there is nowhere in the Bible, in this grace, that entitles you to carry gun and carry sword and kill because they want to kill you. No. No. There is all that he is interested is that you should not preach that Jesus. Is that you should not live according to the word of God. All that is interested is drop that faith. But he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That is, nothing will stop the work of God. When they demolish this church, did any service, was any service affected? Was any service affected? That's what I want you to note. When they demolish this church on Wednesday, they expected that, God Almighty, they expected that there will be no this thing. The church near us here announced on their microphone that that church, bride, that occultic church, bride, does not exist again. Close it. Close that place. On Friday. You know the interesting thing? That action announced the church. Including those who know they come vigil before. That Friday vigil, they came. So the whole place was filled and we had open air crusade. You can't stop the work of God. Can't stop. You can't stop the work of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was what happened in that age. God released an anointing. Instead of them to be afraid, if you kill one, three more will come and say, kill us too. If you kill this one, more will come. When you expect them to run, they will be coming. You know that they were not doing it by ordinary spirit. That was the anointing God released. They were not afraid. Because the anointing there is the anointing of a cow. There are two characteristics of that animal. Number one, it is among the animals that you sacrifice at the altar. According to the law. So he gave them the anointing that they will offer themselves to die for what they stood for. And secondly, that animal is a burden bearer. No matter what body you put upon, he will carry it. And carry it gladly. That was the anointing that was released. And then they were killing. Then when he discovered that the more I kill, more we are coming, he changed tactics to the next verse. Verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, what I'm speaking is church history. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. What is the third beast? At the face of a man. That beast had the face like the face of a man. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. From white, it changed to red. From red now, he is now black. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. That is salvation for sale, salvation for sale. That is where he's going. He is selling salvation. He is selling penance. He is selling indulgences. See what he's doing now. Anointing for sale. That is where he started. Praise the Lord. That was the period. Hallelujah. Then he said, that same voice said, and see thou hot not the oil and the wine. Which oil? Oil there is the Holy Ghost. Wine is the revelation that goes forth when you receive the Holy Ghost. That is, there was something he placed on his people. He said, you can't touch that one. You can deceive the rest. You can't deceive a particular group. There's an anointing that he released this time around. Hallelujah. Was the face of a man. Why is it a black horse? That was the age where the parable in Matthew 13 verse 33. That woman that took three measures of meal and mixed it with leaven and corrupted the three works of grace, the three measures of meal, until the whole meal was corrupted. No more light. Anything that pertained to salvation was distorted. Say it's because when they read the Bible, now when I get faith, we will remove the Bible from them. Through other periods, no more light. And that spanned almost 1,000 years. That horse rode through the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth church ages. The longest. It rode through this period. But that was the period that God began to anoint men, starting with Luther, Martin Luther. That's why it is the face of a man. He began to use human wisdom. It is because they don't know Bible, that's why. He caused, started with Luther, that began to bring people back to the Bible. And anytime you come to the Bible, the folly of error will be made manifest. You can only tell somebody you are wrong from a scriptural point. If not, he will argue with you. See? That is how the light began to shine through the reformers. All the gospel truth that we have covered this 1,000 years period, God began to raise different men to bring them back one after the other. The Lutherans, the Baptists, and the Wesleyans, and then we have the Calvins, and then we have all of them that brought, each one of them had a light they picked. And that is how what God used to restore back the light. That was the period that Bible colleges were established. Because the people knew nothing again about salvation. History said that it was an offense for them, praise the Lord. Was for any member to own Bible. And they said to demonstrate that you have no access to Bible, only the priest will turn and read the Bible back in the congregation. Just like only the priest in communion service, only the priest will drink the wine. They leave you to take the bread. You can imagine somebody eating bread without any liquid to push it in. These people are. Praise the Lord. Only the priests drink wine. They put one small something in your tongue sanctimoniously. You bow down, you take it. And they tell you that that is the body of Jesus Christ. This body of Jesus Christ, when are they finished? And him they take. Then while you are there struggling with it to go through your throat, the priest will turn and back you and gulp the oil. Praise the Lord. That was the period that Christianity and paganism became married. Praise the Lord. That is when Catholicism, Roman Catholicism, using state power, gained influence. You see, one interesting thing, as I was studying this history, Satan, that's why it's a mystery. How did the Pope become so powerful? How? First and foremost, they started with the Nicene Council in AD 325, where the Emperor Constantine came to mediate in a meeting the two factions that we are fighting, and then, okay, let's see how we can come together. And then that was when the final straw was given, the blow. And that was when anybody also that refused to follow, of course, who are you to even resist it? The only thing they were doing, they were running away. The true Christians were running away. Now, the state and the church became one. So, with the power of the government, the state behind them, they have so much influence now that they could now label anybody a heretic if you refuse to follow their own system. To adopt Semiramis as Mary and worship Mary as a mediatrix. To adopt, that is when Trinity was adopted as the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. That was when the doctrine of Trinity was established. And if you don't believe it, you know what they will do with you. And they have so much influence, and all the places, you know, the local places around those countries and everywhere, they had their local bishops who were in charge of those churches all around. So Rome also had, the church in Rome had a bishop appointed by them there, you know, it was a Catholic church that was the bishop. They did not have a general leader. Everybody was just on their own. But suddenly the idea came up that if the imperial headquarters of the whole world was Rome, then the Christian faith also should have a headquarters in Rome. Therefore, the bishop of Rome should be the head over all other bishops. And remember that the Roman Empire then was one single empire with different localities. But as time went on, you can imagine the vast area of the Roman Empire, they were all under one bishop that had indoctrinated them to see him as the vicar of Christ, the head of the Christian faith. Before you know what, time evolved that he has so much influence in the Roman Empire, that was the then world that was ruling, so much until when time came, when from political upheavals, these countries began to tear themselves. We shall see later on the seven heads that were on that beast. The seven horns that were on that beast. There were these about 7 or 10 nations that made up the Roman Empire. And they were all having their own emperors. And they're having their leaders. Ruling Christians that were answerable to Rome. Spiritual Rome. Therefore, if that leader in that country wanted peace, he must respect their religious leader. Praise the Lord. That is how the man gained power. He could tell all Catholics in Italy that nobody should go to work. And God has spoken. Before you know what, and then time went on, the Second World War now came up. That was where the power of Rome was totally destroyed. Leaving only one other leader that had control over the vast majority of people. And everyone in those countries sent their tithes to Rome, the headquarters. Tithes and offerings. controlled from there. The whole church was now controlled. That is how the Pope gained his power till today, because any other leader that comes up to be president of any of these nations, they see him as a religious leader. Every president in the European Union, prime minister in the European Union, their religious leader is the Pope. He's the only permanent one. You want blessing, you go to him to bless you. Everybody, everyone in Europe, as you enter Europe, you will fill form for your employment. Are you a Christian or Muslim? Declare. If you say you are a Christian, they don't care which one you belong. As far as they are concerned, there is only one church they know, Catholic Church. At the end of the month, from source, they are deducting your tithe and sending it to the church. Imagine how wealthy that church is. And with so much command of resources, imagine what they can do and what they are doing until they have their own currency. That is as strong as the dollar. Why will it not be strong? They are not importing anything. It's not it. They are the ones receiving. They have the richest bank. And with their influence, all the gold of the Roman Empire is in their hands. All the gold is in Vatican. They paint their building, paint their gold. They sit down. That's why the Bible describes it. You see the way it is described in Revelation chapter 17. You will see that it is a wealthy throne. That is how he gained his power. Through the dark ages. May God raise his standard. Oh, glory be to God. Luther started it. And when it is time, nothing can stop it. God allowed them to have their own millennium. Because his own millennium is coming. 1,000 years. That was when the horse became black. Praise the Lord.